And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, I'll tell you. Prophecy is coming to pass, and it's so swift the way things are happening in this world. And today I want to go through a volume of secrets with you because, I mean, the elite, the Illuminati elite are so evil and just so mixed up with evil and wickedness, they don't even try to hide it anymore. That's what the Bible says. They don't even try to disguise it. They don't even do it behind closed doors these days. And America has really changed. I mean, we've just about sunk as a nation. And yet, next week, I'm going to be discussing a subject, not this week, but next week, I'm going to be discussing a very odd topic. We are winning. Now, that may seem strange because, you know, the world seems to have gone insane. And on every side, the wicked do wickedly, and they're proud of it. And we who are Christians, well, we just hang our heads in shame. But, God will have his due. He will come out on top. And I think a great turn is coming. And, you know, I mean, I am... totally convinced of that. But we're going to talk about that next week because it just makes me want to smile. Now, I know I should be just frowning and so sad. And if you think you're being persecuted for being a Christian, won't you come spend about 3 or 4 days with Tex Mars here at Power of Prophecy? The letters I get, the people I meet that are down on me and call me names and bad things, anti-Semite and hater, and I tell you, oh, I love it. Well, listen, you know, there was an old song called Me and My Shadow. Remember that? Everybody knows an old classic. Me and My Shadow. Well, I was reading an article this week. It's called Me and My Obama Phones. And I began to think of that old tune, Me and My Shadow. Me and my Obama phones. That's about how to get an Obama phone. It's not hard. In fact, 14 million Americans have Obama phones. Now, they're just regular phones. They're just cell phones. But you don't have to pay a dime for them. In fact, they give them to you free, sort of like welfare machines. And then they give you the minutes, you know, so you can call anybody you want to at any time and chat them up and all that. But you're paying for it already. Now, when you get your phone bill, you look at it very carefully. They have all kinds of little bitty, you know, charges on there. This fee, that fee. Well, one of those fees or other, that was added on there during the time of Bill Clinton. It was an idea that old Al Gore had. And he says, we'll put all this money, give these fees out to these people for their phone service. Then we'll put all the money together and we'll buy poor people phones. So everybody went for it, all the congressmen. You know, the Congress, they're all a bunch of lying jackals. Republicans, they call them rhinos, you know, Republicans in name only. That's not true at all. They're Republicans. They're really, they are Republicans. They're all a bunch of socialist bums. They are. There might be one or two left in the pack that are good, like Rand Paul or something. But, you know, he's got such pressures put on him to be a bad boy. Well, this article in National Review Online was written by a woman named Jillian Melchior. Jillian Melchior. She said she went out and got 3 Obama phones, and she's not on welfare or anything. She's a well-paid writer for National Review. She said she was walking down the street in New York City, and she ran into these two people and out on the sidewalk, and they were chatting people up and saying, come get your free phone. So she went over to get her free phone. She wanted to see what was happening. They said, there's a little form you have to sign, you know, fill out and sign. We'll fill it out for you if you can't write or if you don't know English. So she let them write it out for her, the little form. And they said, all you have to do is be on welfare in some way. She says, well, I'm not on welfare. I got a job. They said, well, do you get food stamps? Most people get food stamps. Well, no, I don't have food stamps. Well, do you get some kind of stipend for your apartment, some kind of a subsidy? No, I don't get that either. Well, are you on Medicaid? No, I don't have that either. Well, what do you do when you get sick? She says, well, I do have a Blue Cross Blue Shield card. They said, what's that? They didn't even know. She said, well, that's private insurance, medical insurance. And they looked at each other and they said, there is such a thing as private medical insurance. We never heard of it. She says, yeah, I've got it. They said, well, that'll work. Let us see that card. So she brought out her card and there was a number on it. You know, everybody has a number. Then they wrote the number down. They said, okay, now you're qualified. See there? And so they signed her up for three phones. She said she'd like to have three. They said, okay. So now she has three phones. She doesn't pay for them. She uses them, of course. She says she didn't lie about anything. She told them the truth about everything. This was, outside the food stamp office at 10th Avenue and 216th Street in Manhattan, New York. Now, they were asking everybody that came by, you know, these two look like Mormon missionaries. Have you got an Obama phone? Those who didn't, they stopped and signed them up and filled out the form. And then, of course, it came, you know, that she got a certificate or something in the mail and said, go down to your phone store and get your free phone. So she did, and they signed her up. And now they're paying her phone, but she got three phones. Now, I was thinking about this, folks. This is different, isn't it? Me and my Obama phones. Now, if you're a college student today, there's something I got to tell you about. You are eligible for Obamacare. You're going to get free medical care as a college student. You won't have to pay anything for it. The government will take care of you. And you'll get food stamps as a college student. Now, it doesn't matter if your dad and mom are millionaires. It doesn't matter what kind of income you have. You're going to get it. You're going to get the food stamps. And I think for one person, I think that's, I don't know, about $180 a month or something, somewhere around there. $180 tax free. You get your food stamps. And then when you get your food stamps, as soon as you sign up for that, you go over and get you a free phone. And you get your phone, you need to call, you call every place, and you get so many minutes, and I don't know if you get internet service or what, probably. Every college student in America, you may go to St. Olaf's College, a little college in Minnesota, or the Bronx College in New York, or Harvard or Yale. Yeah, the kids at Harvard and Yale and University of Michigan, University of Texas, University of Southern California, Florida State University. Every college student gets food stamps. Every college student gets an Obama phone with so many minutes per month of use. They probably get other things too, you know. I mean, remember Sandra Fluke, when she was going to college at Georgetown, you know, she complained that the Republicans wanted to cut off her birth control pills. Oh, how horrible that is. I mean, she couldn't go out there and take on every guy she wanted. Yeah, she couldn't do that because, you know, she wouldn't have birth control pills. Well, you know, she won them. She got her birth control pills through Obamacare now. But in any case, Jillian said that she was just totally blown away by getting these free Obama phones. Now, I want to ask you a question, folks. Now, first of all, let me go a little further. I haven't finished my statement yet. I've already told you that if you're a student in college, you finish high school, you go on to university or college, anywhere in America, you're going to get all these goodies. Now, it doesn't matter if your dad and mom are sending you a check for $10,000 a month and paying all your college fees. And if you're living in a fancy sorority house or a fraternity, you're going to get all this stuff. It doesn't matter how much income you have. You know, you take, I mean, the kids don't even tell their parents. I mean, you know, you bring in little Johnny and say, Johnny, you're 19 years old now. You're a sophomore at, let's say, Oklahoma University. You're getting free food stamps, aren't you? No, I don't get anything. Are you sure? No. Ha, ha, ha. You don't know it, but he is. They all get it. At most universities, when they register, they have the form they fill out right there at registration. Here, get your food stamps. Actually, they're not called food stamps anymore. It's called the SNAP program. That's probably why the kid says, I don't get food stamps, Mom. I suffer. Yeah, well, he gets SNAP program. But here's the whole point about this. They also get the student loan program. Millions, billions are going out now. The student loan program has doubled since Obama took office. And some are getting $200,000 or $300,000 a year on the student loan program. And they're not planning on paying back a penny. Yeah, they don't have to pay it back. That's right. But they're not the only ones. Every young black man or woman in the ghetto, in our cities, anywhere in fact, have a free phone. I'm not kidding you. Go to the housing areas of Chicago or Cleveland or New York or Newark, New Jersey or Dallas, Texas. And every young black man, he doesn't have a job, but he's got three or four phones. Now, what's that all about? You can only use one at a time. But he don't pay for any of these phones, friends. They're all free, and all the services free. I was watching a TV program the other day, and a young black man, 21 years old, got arrested. He was a pimp, 21 years old. He was a young pimp. And he had four phones. Now, think about that. He's walking around, you know, as a big old pimp, 21 years old. And he has a phone in his left pocket, a phone in his right, phone in his back pocket, and one hanging off his belt. Four phones. So the cop said, what are those phones for? He says, well, one is my hoe phone for his girls. That's when a customer calls. This one over here is when I want some drugs. When he wants his drugs, you know, cocaine or whatever he gets, he uses this phone. When he wants to call his mama, he uses this phone. I mean, he has four, all these different phones for different purposes. He doesn't pay for any of the phones. The government does. And his mama at home, she's got a phone too. And his sister at home, she's got a Obama phone too. Are you on welfare? Are you above the, below the, in fact, you can be above the poverty line. One of the requirements is, it says here, let's see, if you are less than 136% of the federal poverty line, you can get a phone. Now that's, if you make less than some $30,000 a year, you'll get a phone. That means if you work at McDonald's, if you work at Burger King, if you work at Wendy's, if you work at, you know, Chick-fil-A, you're going to get a free phone. Now, let's count it all up. Let's see. There's all the ghetto dwellers. There's every college student in America, even if they're a millionaire, even if they're a billionaire. I suppose, you know, Bill Gates' son or daughter, they probably get this too, free stuff. All in all, they say there's about 14 million on these phones. Now, last year, they decided to do a little study, an FCC audit. They found that 41% of the subscribers, the 14 million subscribers, were not really eligible. 41% got phones, but they weren't eligible. Now, Jerry's over here. He's my good man working the... Do you have Obama phone, Jerry? You don't? Oh man, I got five or six. Yeah. I've been thinking of getting my dog one. He has friends. He calls. You know? Don't you? Come, he's right here. Hey, Princess, you want to call on your Obama phone? Call all your friends? Yeah, Princess, he's a good dog. Good dog. Folks, you got a dog? You got a cat? They need a phone? It's free. This is the state of our society. This is why it's gone crazy, hasn't it? It really has. And by the way, the Smithsonian Institution, they have the first of everything. The first car invented, the first airplane. They got all these artifacts and inventions. Everybody, when they go to Washington, D.C., wants to go to the Smithsonian. Now, they're all the time looking for new things to get. You know, they've got the first recording machine, the first phonograph by Thomas Edison, all these things. Well, now they want the hoodie. The director of the Smithsonian says he's got to have the hoodie. You know what the hoodie is? The hood that goes on, you know, over Trayvon Martin's head. He says when he thinks about it, it sends chills down his spine. If we could just have that hoodie. Now, I'm not kidding you, folks. He's going to go out and see if he can't find that hoodie. So when you visit the Smithsonian, make sure you go to the room that has Trayvon Martin's hoodie. Oh, boy. See what I mean, folks? They're probably going to pay the parents of Trayvon Martin $500,000 or $600,000 for that hoodie. They will, out of your taxpayer dollars. Because the director says he's got to have it. Chills go down his back when he thinks about, oh, I want Trayvon Martin's hoodie. Folks, I don't kid about these things. They're legit. Well, let's just go right on to the next thing. Gays. Now, they may be very happy here in America, and they probably are. They get everything they want. But not in Moscow, not in Russia. You see, Putin says they're not welcome. Putin says they could be prosecuted at the 2014 Olympics. Oh, yes. Putin's not, he's not going to take their nonsense. Now, they had this all-girl band. They were Jews, and their name was, I'm sorry, please send the kids out of the room. Pussy Riot. That's their name. And they love to dress up in clowns' uniforms, all that stuff, and go around to churches. And when they were having church services, they would go in and disrupt the church services. These rock stars. They thought it was really cute. They said they were all gay women. They thought they could do that and get away with it. Well, they must have miscalculated. They were not in New York City or San Francisco. They were in Moscow. And Putin says, we're not going to take this. He had them arrested. They put them on trial. They're all in prison now. And the court has just refused their appeal. They're doing prison time for disrupting the church service. And they say at the 2014 Olympics, the gay is going to go there and demonstrate and everything, and they think they're going to get away with it. They're going to end up in prison. No gay pride parade, says Putin, the president of Russia. Now, the gays are all angry. All over the world, they're mad at Putin, but they can't do a thing about it. I'm going to give him the Tex Mars annual award. Don't you think I should, folks? Here's a guy that stands up to these gays. You know, he doesn't have any limp-wristed stuff like old Obama. The News Corps asked him in his press conference, Mr. Putin, what do you think about President Obama and the gay community? And he says, well, you know, Obama can do what he wants to. He's president of the United States. I'm president of Russia. We're not going to have the gays prance and parade around here. Why can't America get a president like that? Why can't we have, you know... He told the Jews, pay your taxes or go to prison. One of the richest Jews in the world, I think his name is Berezkov, he didn't pay his taxes. He had to flee the country because Putin wanted to put him in prison. Putin's not kidding. Now, in America, there's all these guys that they don't pay any taxes. I understand that Apple Computer is one of the richest countries in the world. They have $67 billion that's parked offshore, and the IRS can't touch it. Hey, you know, Pope John Paul II went over to Poland, and he prayed at the chapel of the Black Madonna, an idol. See, there's a statue of the Black Madonna. She's black. Now, you may say, well, that they're just showing their diversity. They love Africa. So they're worshiping at the shrine of the Black Madonna. But that's not the reason for the Black Madonna. Oh, no. In fact, Pope Francis, the new Jesuit Pope, and the Pope that just resigned, Pope Benedict, traveled to the shrine of the Black Madonna and prayed to it, just as did their predecessor, Pope John Paul II. They wanted to send a message to the whole world that the Black Madonna, the Black Mary, is still in charge. Who is the Black Mary? Well, back in the old pagan days, the pagans worshipped the black goddess. She wasn't from Africa. That's not why they call her black. See, they believed in black idols. That means dark. That means wickedness. Well, amazing. Hey, in San Antonio, a priest, the Reverend Rafael Padilla, was found in a hotel room in San Antonio there with cuts and bruises on his arms and face last week. Yeah, the police went to the Relax Inn. That's quite a name, isn't it? The Relax Inn. And they saw the Reverend Rafael Padilla standing in his hotel room in his underwear with the door open. He had swelling and abrasions on his face and arms, but he couldn't tell the police how he got the injuries. Wow. He was injured, but he could not tell the police how he got the injuries. He told police that his head hurt. He thought he was dreaming. He didn't even know what was going on. He also said he did not know whether someone was with him during the time of the incident. Oh, well. Now, the hotel's office told police that Padilla had checked in about 11:30 a.m. in the morning, and about half an hour later, he called the office to ask for an ambulance because he was in pain. Well, no arrest had been made, but the Reverend Rafael Padilla apparently met somebody and took him back to his hotel room, I suppose for a little bit of counseling. Wouldn't you say so, folks? But the guy beat him up. The guy didn't stay, but didn't he stay 30 minutes? Well, he didn't do anything wrong, did he? This is a priest. I mean, even the Pope recently said, you know, when he was asked about gays and homosexuals, he said, who am I to judge? Well, old Pope Francis could have at least told him what the Bible says. He could have told him what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't you think so? But he must have forgot. He couldn't remember what God did at Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, who am I to judge? Yes, indeed. We go from the Catholic Pope and the teachings or non-teachings on homosexual priests in the pulpit to the Jew in the pulpit. I'm talking here about Jonathan Cahn, a Jew who's written a book called The Harbinger. The Harbinger. Now, it became a big bestseller, and so I congratulate the good rabbi on that. He actually calls himself Rabbi. Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. He's got a Jewish church up in New Jersey. Jonathan Cahn, C-A-H-N. Well, he offers a list of all of his tapes and messages. And most of them have something to do with the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah. Wow. He has one sermon, let's see, you can order from him. It's called The Cosmic Zulaf and the Mystery of Purim. Now, I don't know what mystery there is in Purim, although, you know, quite a few people were murdered or killed, by the Jews. Find out about it in Esther, the book in the Bible. Then there's the Sword of Amalek and the Mystery of Purim. Well, let's see now. He's got a, Oh, there's all kinds of stuff here. The Cosmic Keychain. Maybe you needed a keychain. Well, in any case, you'll want to check that out, folks, because he's a very popular man. Now, Jesus says, call no man rabbi, except your Father in heaven. But Jonathan Cahn and all these rabbis today, they think Jesus is all wet. He didn't know what he's talking about. Of course, they still believe in Jesus, they say. Meanwhile, they're, you know, they don't have much to say about him. I don't see one sermon here about Jesus, by Jonathan Cahn. A lot of it's about Hebrew mysticism. Well, then I get a letter from Ricky. You know who you are, Ricky. You're a good guy. And he wants me to start talking about the Aliyah. The Aliyah. What is Aliyah? That is the return to Israel by the Jews. Now, many Christians are helping to sponsor that Aliyah. Yeah, they're helping to sponsor it. Sending money. Maybe you yourself have spent some money for this Aliyah, have you? I got this this thing in the mail, this newsletter called Shoresh, which means the root in Hebrew. It's by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Found it very interesting. It's done by the Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein. Now, Rabbi Eckstein is a nice guy, but he is a rabbi. He's not a Christian minister. But this goes out to thousands of Christians. It asks for money to help fight the enemy of Israel. And on the back page is the Rabbi's Report. The Rabbi's Report. International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. He says, we want to return the Jews to Israel. Well, Rabbi Eckstein, Tex Mars wants to help you. Don't you, folks? I'm praying that every Jew in the United States will return. Well, they can't return. They've never been there in the first place, but we'll go to Israel. Now, I know that's bad for the Palestinians. We're going to have to do something about that. But there's 7.5 million Jews in America. If they all want to what they call make Aliyah, which means return, which is a misnomer because they've never been there. They're Khazars. How can they have been somewhere they've... Well, anyway, how can they return when they've never been? But Ricky Ray wants to lead them there. He thinks the Jews are evil, and they are, of course. I'm with Ricky Ray on this, and I'm with the rabbi. The good rabbi wants to bring the Jews back to Israel. Of course, he wants you to send him money so he can do that. He wants your money. Help the Jews return to Israel. Well, I keep saying that word, return. The Jews cannot return because they were never there in the first place. Okay, so I think in a couple of weeks I'm going to do a couple of programs on Aliyah. Don't you think all the Jews ought to return, Jerry? I mean, really, we can help that. We can help that process. Okay, I think we've got enough secrets on this half. We're going to have to take a little break here and pay the bills. And we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I am Tex Marks. All right, we're back again here. And Jerry was just telling me during the break that we ought to help them return to the Caucasus. Kazakhstan and Georgia and all those countries just south of Russia. And that's where the Khazars really came from. See, the Khazar are Jews, And that's all there are in the world today. There are the Mizrahis and the Sephardic Jews, but they're a very small minority. Most Jews are Ashkenazis, and they all came from Khazaria, and they're not the seed of Abraham at all. Almost every Jew in Israel today is an Ashkenazi Jew. Every American Jew is an Ashkenazi Jew. So Jerry says we should send them back to southern Russia, where they came from, the Khazars. Don't send them back to Israel. They never, you know, like, you know, the old columnist and editorial writer, Helen Thomas, you know, she said, they need to go back to Europe. Yeah, I think they ought to close the doors there in Israel and send them all back where they came to in 1948. They came to Israel, but they never had been there before. They're not the descendants of Abraham. And the new DNA study, that's what my book's all about, DNA science and the bloodline of the Jews. Well, the real name is DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Hey, folks, you may want to get that book. It's an amazing book. I think it's my favorite book I've ever written. It's full of Bible truths. I mean, boy, my heart just went out in this book. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. It tells you about the newest DNA science research, the men and women behind it. And by the way, they're all Israelis. They're all Jews. And they're all, you know, they've got their big doctorates after their names. And they figured it out now using DNA science that Jews are not Jews. They're Khazars. They're not Abraham's seed. So when I hear a Jew say, I want to return to Israel, I say, what? You fool. You never were there in the first place. That's so silly. I mean, they can go visit, but it's just like a Japanese or a Chinese going back to Israel. I mean, that's not their land. They've never had it before. And they it's sort of silly. The Khazars going back to Israel the way they did, they started immediately killing the Palestinians, taking their land. That's a little like the Japanese going to Texas, coming over here to Texas saying, this land is ours. God gave it to us 5,000 years ago. Well, you know, I'm a native Texan. I'd say, get out of here. I was born in Texas. You were born in, you know, Yokohama or Tokyo or somewhere. What are you doing here claiming you're a native Texan? And the leader of the Japanese would say, well, I'll have my DNA checked. And I'll say, well, I'll have mine too. And I tell you right now, they'll be packing back to Japan. But you know, the Palestinians didn't have very many people. We didn't have DNA science back then, but we do today. Hey, folks, if you want the newest in DNA science, please order my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. It's just $20. We're keeping it inexpensive. 256 pages, packed with power. Well, okay. Hey, I got a nice letter from Renee. He sent it to me as the pastor of Bible Home Church. It says, good day, sir. Can you please send me some inspiring verses? I love learning more about our Father and His Word. Please, I read the Bible every day. But some verses from you would surely keep me on God's path. Have a wonderful day and God bless. Well, I like that. You know, a man asking for the Bible. Now, he could just get out the Bible and we'd send you a Bible. If you don't have the money for a Bible, well, all you have to do is write to me. We'll send you a free Bible, okay? I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. If you don't have the money for a Bible, write to me and say, dear Tex, I don't have any money for a Bible. I'll send you a free Bible. But if you do have money, please help us out. Because when you pay for a Bible, then we can turn around and buy two or three other Bibles for other people. Now, as far as this gentleman goes, he wants the Bible. It says he reads it every day. Now, I think the best way to handle this is to send Renee a copy of my book, Bible Pathway. It has a Bible verse for every day of the year. But I did want you to know about this book. It's called The Best of Bible Pathway. It's one verse a day for the whole year. By the time you finish the year, guess what? You finish with a Bible. Isn't that great? The Best of Bible Pathway. If you can't afford this book, The Best of Bible Pathway, then write to me. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. and say, I don't have one cent I can give you, Tex, but I really want that book. It's yours. I'll be glad to send it to you. Now, if you want the book DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, send us your love gift of $25. That's $20 for the book, $5 for shipping and handling. A total of $25 for the book entitled DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. There's never, ever been a book like this. This is the first book in the entire world. Why? Well, they've just done the DNA science on this. We didn't have DNA science until 1968, Watson and Crick. Two British scientists got together and came up with DNA science, genetics, the helix. Now, here's how you can get this book. Just phone us at toll-free. Toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Order the book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Or write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Go to our webpage. It's right there, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or go to texmars.com. The book is there. Order the book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Now, we were talking before about Aliyah. That's a Jewish word meaning return. Now, all the Jews say they're eventually going to return to Israel. Now, there's 7.5 million Jews in Israel, and there's about 7.5 million in the United States. And all around the world, there's only about 3 million more. So you can see where the two huge groups are. Now, look, I don't believe the Bible really calls for Aliyah. But if you do and you're a Jew, then get out of Dodge, man. Get home. Well, this can't be home. You know, that's the trouble. You can't say these words anymore. They have been proven untrue by my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. You can't go back home because you never were there in the first place. You were in southern Russia as a Khazar. It's true. The DNA science proves it. No question about it. Now, I received a book, a whole book entitled Let My People Go, The Struggle of the Jewish People to Return to Israel. Now, I'm going to write this Tom Hess, who says he's a Jew, but he has to be a Khazar, and he says he's a Christian. Now, he's published edition after edition of this, and he says that his mission in life is to help Jews return to Israel. And he's about Jews that have never been to Israel, apparently. Now, I challenge this guy, this Tom Hess. Would he show me one person who is a pure race Jew? Now, it costs $99 to get your DNA. Yeah, you just write off and get a kit, DNA kit. Ancestry.com. You can go online, order the kit. When it comes in, a little bit of your spittle. You know, take a cotton swab and get a little bit of your spittle and send it back to the laboratory, and they'll tell you what race you are, what races you are. You know, if you're a little bit German, a little bit Portuguese, a little bit, you know, whatever you are, they'll give you the exact percentage, in fact. Now, I challenge Tom Hess. First of all, Tom, why don't you check your DNA? Let's make sure you're a real Jew. I suspect you are not a real Jew. You're a Khazar. A Khazar is not a Jew at all. The Khazars worship the male sex organ. They were, you know, nature worshipers. And they converted to Judaism. Now, if you want to tell me you own the land of Israel, God's given you the title because you're a Khazar, then I think we ought to see if maybe people like Sammy Davis Jr., the black man, Marilyn Monroe, both of them converted to Judaism. So why can't they have part of the land? Why can't they be part of the real estate? Anyway, Tom Hess has written this book, Let My People Go. Well, evidently the people of America don't want to go. You know, I was in New York City a few years ago, and everywhere I turned, there was a Jew. Guys were driving taxis. I said, where did you come from? Russia. But I'm not Russian. I said, oh, you're not? No, I'm a Jew. Okay. Jews were driving all the taxis in New York City. I said to a couple of them, are you a Khazar Jew? No, just a Russian Jew. Now I come to America. Why didn't you want to go to Israel and be with the other Jews? Oh, my goodness. They said, we didn't want to go to Israel. Crummy country. I said, crummy country? That's your country. Why don't you do Aliyah and go to Israel? No, that's the desert. The sand. We don't want that. We want America. Why don't you want to return to Israel? They said, we never were in Israel. We're Russian. We're Jews. Okay. Don't get mad at me. No problem. Did you know that Yoko Ono, the widow of the murdered John Lennon, is a witch? Now, she evidently has a book out. It's called Yes, I'm a Witch. Now, it's either a book I can't figure out here, but it's like a book, but it's an album. It's the voice of Yoko Ono with collaborations from witches. There's the witch Cat Power. There's one called Antony, another one called Peaches, and another one called Flaming Lips. Boy, doesn't that make you just want to kiss it? In any case, she says, yes, I am a witch, Yoko Ono. Hey, I knew that already. But anyway, now she's officially a witch. Meanwhile, the country music girl, the big one, Wynonna Judd, you know, the Judd sisters, or then the mother, and, you know, well, anyway, the Judds, great singing group. Wynonna has a terrific voice. She says that she is a, now what do they call a male witch? The warlock. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry, you never were a witch, were you? Because you knew that word real quick. Warlock. Yeah, I mean, you answer that very, I think I'm going to start. Now, Jerry, how long you worked here, Jerry? 14 years. Yeah, I'm a little suspicious about Jerry. You know? I'm a little suspicious how you operated on that football field as a referee last year. I think you did a little witchcraft, those boys. This poof, you know, the penalty went away, right? Nah, folks, I'm totally kidding. Jerry's a good guy. No witchcraft there. But Wynonna Judd said, I am a warlock. Now, I thought about that. Now, Yoko Ono says, yes, I'm a witch. But Wynonna Judd said, I am a warlock. She said it right on TV. And, you know, I could believe her, but a warlock is a male witch. But then she was accused by her assistant, this woman, of sexual harassment. The woman who lived with Wynonna Judd said that Wynonna sexually harassed her and tried to get her to have sex together. A woman. Now, see, does it get now? Let's say a little bit more, Jerry. Now you can sort of see why Wynonna Judd is not just a witch. She's a male witch. She's a warlock. Makes sense. You know, I mean, I don't know. But Yoko Ono is a witch. Well, I don't know why I reported these things, you know, just seemed sort of interesting. Hey, there's a famous rabbi. You probably haven't heard of him unless, you know, you're into the Talmud and Judaism and everything. His name is Maimonides. Very famous. He's the most famous rabbi in the whole world. You know, the guy, he was a Talmudic scholar. He wrote a lot of the Talmud, you know, the Jewish book of the Holy Law. He lived way back in the 12th century. Now, the reason I want to tell you folks about Maimonides is that he wrote a three-volume book that has been called the most popular religious book in the history of Judaism. It's called The Guide to the Perplexed. Now, I'm perplexed about a lot of things. You know, God reveals some things to me, but others he doesn't. So I'm perplexed. I wanted to know what this rabbi, I know I'm not supposed to call him a rabbi, but he calls himself, all the Jews, the rabbis still call him Rabbi Maimonides. His book, The Guide to the Perplexed, very popular among Jews to this very day. Now, what do we know about Maimonides' Talmudic teachings? Well, for one thing, they're thoroughly bigoted and racist. Now, I'm not just saying that to be a bad sort of guy. But in Book 3, Chapter 51 of Guide to the Perplexed, the incomparably wise rabbi, tells readers that there are two categories of people who were so, now let's get this, folks, who were so miserably inferior that in the good rabbi's opinion, they are below human and are not much higher as a species than the monkey. Now, I was sort of, you know, drawn. I've met a lot of people like that, haven't you, Jerry? Think about it. Two categories of people that are below human and just a little step above the monkey. I mean, I've met a lot of people like that. My mother-in-law, no, I'm, folks, I'm only, you know, I'm in a jocular mood today. I never met my mother-in-law. She was the sweetest lady. And Wanda, you stay back in your area. Wanda, she got the door. She can't. She doesn't hear me. But the thing is, folks, okay, I have never met anybody like this. I have never met a human being that's below human and only a small step above the monkey. But Maimonides did. And his book is still a big bestseller in Judaism. Now, let me read to you exactly what he said. Some of the Turks, for example, the Mongol race, and the blacks, their nature is like the nature of mute animals. They are not on the level of human beings, and their level among existing things is below that of a man and above that of the monkey. Because they have the image and the resemblance of a man more than a monkey does. So that makes them higher than a monkey, because they look like people, but they're closer to monkey. Okay. Now, the humorous thing about Maimonides' view, it has now been discovered that virtually every Jew alive in the world today can trace their ancestry back to the Turks and the Mongols, because the Khazars, as my new book shows, are Turks and Mongols. Now, frankly, I have my book, one of my books about the Illuminati, is a big bestseller in Turkey. And the Turks write to me all the time. They're very pleasant people. I mean, Turkey is a great country. I'm not going to knock it. But Maimonides, he says that it's, you know, a crummy country. He says the Turks, the Mongol race, is only a little bitty step higher than the monkey. Now, they published my books there. I don't know. It doesn't make me look very good, does it? You know, but I think they're great guys. I think they're superior. But, you know, you got to trust Maimonides. I mean, every Jew does. Now, the blacks, you got to include the blacks. Now, he never met Trayvon Martin, I can tell. So he really didn't know. But their nature is like the nature of mute animals. Huh. They're below that of a man, their level, and above that of a monkey. Just a little bit above that of a monkey. But he's talking about the Jews, isn't he? The Khazars? The Khazars are the Turks and the Mongols. He didn't even know what he was talking. He thought he was a Jew, but really, I don't know, Maimonides, maybe he was a Turk too, didn't know it. Now, the blacks, the Jews are their Talmud. This is part of their Talmud. They say the blacks are inferior. Now, you would think the blacks would get all upset about this, except that the blacks don't read the Jews' books. And the Christians don't either. And the Turks don't either. I suppose they're all Muslims. So we're going to give old Maimonides a free ride. Now, I think he could have used a little bit of racial sensitivity training. But that was the 12th century. You know, he got away with it back then. But the Jews today should not get away with it. They hold this guy to be a great rabbi. And I think he was a crypto Turk. He hid his identity. A self-loathing Jew. But the guy, you know, I don't think he ought to get away with this. Do you, Jerry? I mean, he should. No. No, 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 no. Well, back to the Pope again. Have this news from the BBC News over in Europe. He says homosexual orientation is not a sin. To be a homosexual is not a sin. He also says that atheists can go to heaven, and they don't have to change from being an atheist. They can stay an atheist and go to heaven. That guy's strange, isn't he? He's a Jesuit, you know. The strange thing is there's the black pope that's a Jesuit. And he's over Francis, but Francis is the pope. So they got a black pope over the pope. Gets very confusing at the Vatican these days, doesn't it? Now, I got a wonderful letter from Edward Henry. You know, he's the guy who wrote the book about, Mystery Babylon the Great, the Catholic Church. Edward Henry's got a great new book about how to be saved, by the way. But he wrote me, but he said, I just got back out of town to find the pleasant surprise of your new book. I sent Edward a copy of my new book. He said, thank you. I look forward to reading it. The implications of your book are monumental. I think it devastates the legitimacy of the claim of the so-called Jews over the land of Israel. I also think it eviscerates the theology of the Christian Zionist churches. The foundational argument of the Khazar Jews is that God has promised them the land as blood inheritance. Now you have taken their legs out by proving they are not the blood of Abraham, but are rather only converts to the satanic religion we know as Talmudic Judaism. All glory to Jesus Christ. Signed, Edward. Well, thank you, Edward. I appreciate that. Well, NASA's worried about global cooling. Now, I know that Obama wants to tax all of us for global warming, but he's confused. Now, this is good news for leftists all over the nation. See, the social left, they spent a lot of money and energy on indoctrinating young skulls about the dangers of global warming. But now NASA says they don't have to worry about global warming. It's global cooling they got to worry about. Now, the polar bear may lose his habitat in the North Pole. But in the South Pole, I guess the polar bears are, I mean, the herds of them are just growing. And the ice is getting big down there. It's global cooling. So anyway, that's the state. I just wanted you to know that NASA is now beginning to get worried about global cooling. You know, those guys, they always have to be, you know, worried about something. Meanwhile, the Mail, which is a London newspaper, says, forget global warming. It's global cooling we need to worry about. And if NASA scientists are right, the Thames, that's the river there in London, will be freezing over again. Wow. There's going to be a mini ice age coming. Meanwhile, this report in from New York Post, from the New York Post. Two teenagers have been arrested in Moscow, Russia, for decapitating, cutting off the head of a homeless man and playing soccer with it. Teenagers arrested for decapitating a homeless man playing soccer with his head. Police arrested the duo after following a blood trail from the body to their apartment in Moscow. They also recovered the axe, the bloody axe used in the assault. That's just terrible. They did it just for the fun of it. Meanwhile, in Israel, young people were arrested there for setting cats on fire, torching cats. They said they were bored. They wanted something to do. I mean, when God's chosen people, the Jews, the Khazars, and I'm being tongue-in-cheek here, start torching cats, and teenagers in Moscow start playing soccer with people's heads, is there any doubt, folks? This is a crazy, crazy world. Hey, meanwhile, Congressman Issa of California has accused the White House and the IRS of stonewalling. The IRS stonewalling? I've never heard of such a thing. Surely, surely not. Meanwhile, President Obama says that there is no IRS problem. There's no scandal of the IRS. He says Congressman Issa's making it all up. Well, I think there's a big IRS problem. Now, Lois Lerner, if there was no problem, why did Lois Lerner of the IRS go before Congressman Issa's committee in the House and plead the Fifth Amendment? If it's a phony scandal, why did she plead the Fifth Amendment? Hey, you know, people in the United States, the reason we're losing our freedoms is because of the people. Did you know only 4% of the people know they have a guaranteed freedom in the Constitution to petition the government? Now, this is the Newsom Institute in Washington, D.C. did a survey. They found that 36% of the respondents could not name any of the rights listed in the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, etc. They didn't know what any of those were. 31% agreed that musicians should not be allowed to sing songs with the lyrics that might offend people. Say what? Now, almost one-third of 31% said that musicians should not be allowed to sing songs with lyrics that might offend others. Well, first of all, they don't know the freedom that there's freedom of speech in the Constitution. Then one-third say if you offend somebody with your songs, your lyrics, or your speech, you can't do that. Now, folks, I'm being offended every day. I'm offended by liberals, socialists, abortion doctors, homosexuals, illegal aliens. My senses are being devastated every day. Aren't yours, Jerry? I mean, they're being devastated. I drive down the street and see two men holding hands. I see two women kissing. I am offended. Does the Constitution say they can do that? Well, I don't know. I think they can do it, but they're pretty stupid. But, you know, that's, I guess they have a right. But one third said they don't, that you shouldn't have a right to offend people. But that offends me. How can they offend me and get away with it? Well, 80% agree that the news media should be an independent watchdog over the government on behalf of the people. 80% said the media should be a watchdog. Huh? ABC, NBC, CBS, a watchdog. They're little puppies. Woo, woo, woo. I mean, come on. No wonder our core freedoms are under attack, folks. No wonder they're under attack. Well, Rick Perry did it again. You know, I've got the video of him dancing with the rabbis, the Hatikva. You know, I need to play that again. But Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, announced that he's not going to run for governor again. He's already done that enough. He's going to try something different. I think it's called run for president. A second time. But in any case, the day after he announced that he would not run for governor again, Governor Rick Perry took off for Israel. And I get this from the Washington Times. It says exclusive. Rick Perry's October trip to Israel, sign of another White House bid. I think they know. You have to go to Israel to get blessed by the rabbis, or you cannot become president of the United States. They've all done that. They all go over there. They must be approved by the rabbis, or they cannot be president of the United States. That's part of the Constitution. Well, I'm lying about that. What is it, the First Amendment? Second? One of those amendments. It's one of those amendments, folks. You must go to Israel and be blessed by the rabbis. Now, Jerry over here, he doesn't believe that's part of the Constitution. I just made it up. See, people don't know anyway. If I told most people out there, not this audience, but I mean, if I went on the street, now the audience listeners, they're smarter than that. They know better because they listen to our program all the time. I mean, they're clever people, but on the sidewalk, if I tell people you cannot go, you cannot be president. That is, you cannot be president without going to Israel and getting blessed by the rabbis like Rick Perry's doing. They would all, yes, that sounds reasonable. Sounds like that should be the First Amendment to the Constitution. Should be, yeah. It's not in there, but they think that it probably is. Well, folks, this has been Secrets. Been great being with you today. We've disclosed a few things, haven't we? We've looked at all kinds of things, just amazing things. Hope you'll go out and get my new book. I really want it to sell, and I don't care if I make a cent. All the royalties on this book go directly to the ministry. Tex Mars does not receive 1 cent of the royalties. It all goes into the ministry. And we keep Power of Prophecy going 365 days of the year. And we're going to continue to do that with your help. Please pray for us. Please send us your love gifts, tithes, offerings, and we'll keep battling. Boy, it's getting tougher every day. But we love the battle, folks. We'll be your battle armor. We'll bash them for you. For Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm Tex Mars. Been glad to be with you today. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.